of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. And the gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time that when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for your holy words, for the places and the lights that guide us. Help us to take these words into your heart and live this story because it is our own. Amen. The gospel story today, as you've probably already realized, is the familiar one about the three wise men who bring gifts for baby Jesus. This is a story that's found only in Matthew's gospel. And it's a sort of story that makes us want to ask a lot of questions. We want to ask sometimes, how come we think of them as kings? One of the old carols not found in any United Church hymnal for some reason is "We Three Kings of Orient Are." I bet you sang that when you were younger. And so we think they're kings, and we put crowns in our heads. We put crowns and rich clothing on them when we have a Christmas pageant. Where did they come from? The gospel simply says the East. And who were they? The notes in one of my Bibles says they were a learned class in ancient Persia. In another, it says that they were astrologers, not the kind who write your fortunes in the newspaper, but people who studied the stars very seriously for patterns that could make a sense of life. And when you live in a place, really, that when we say desert, we don't mean like the Sahara, where where this story takes place, but a wilderness that is really kind of barren. And there are no markers. And so if people traveled at night, they would always have the stars to guide them, because there isn't a lot of rain in those countries, so they could always see the stars. And so they began to study the patterns and how they moved around in the heavens according to the seasons, and they got pretty good at it. And in fact, eventually they developed things in the early Middle Ages that helped everybody travel on the sea, because you're still using the stars. And then we want to wonder, how many people were there? We always assume it's three. And some traditions even give them names. They call them Caspar and Melchior and Balthazar. But you know what? When you look at the scripture reading, it doesn't tell us that. We just have here a whole collection of wonderful ideas and customs and cultural practices that we stuff together in the Christmas story, a little bit from Luke here, a little bit from Matthew there, a little bit from John over there. We throw in a bit of Isaiah, and we get what we think is the true Christmas story. And for us, it is, because culturally, that's what we need to hear at this time of year. Did these people represent all the people of the world? Sometimes in pictures or stories, to be fair to everyone, the pictures will show one person Caucasian and one person black and one person of an Eastern or Oriental origins. There was one year, a wonderful year, when I was at Queens Avenue. I was just there for that one year doing sort of fill-in work. And my idea of a Christmas pageant is to gather up all the costumes, and on Christmas Eve you just hang everything up, and whoever comes in the door, they get drafted to do something. That's really the easiest way to do this. And so we had all the kids and the angels, and we had the little shepherds, and we had all kinds of things, and we had a number of adults. And as they came in, I said, would you like to be a king? Would you like to be somebody else? Would you like to be Mary? Oh, okay. And when I looked up from the back of the church as everyone was assembled, and they had this great, you know, multitude of God's people doing the Christmas pageant, something struck me that was so wonderful. It was a sacred moment, because Joseph turned out to be someone from China, and Mary was from the Philippines. And in her arms, she was holding a little Caillou baby. This is a French-Canadian story. And I was rushing around looking for some kind of baby doll, because we'd forgotten about that. And the only one I could find in the nursery was Caillou. So I wrapped him up in a towel. And so he was French-Canadian. And the lead angel was from Tehran. And there was, I can't remember, there was One of the wise men was a refugee from Sudan, and two of his children were little angels. And another person was true 100% Canadian, and another person was from someplace else. And I looked and I thought, we did it. We didn't even intend to do this. But here are all these people from different places, and they're all God's people, and they're all celebrating the story together. And it was such a magical moment to see this happen. And we didn't intend it, it just happened that way. So I felt very inclusive, and I felt like this was just the perfect pageant. And it just took 5 minutes to throw costumes on people. And then we wonder, what about those camels? I know, I've always wanted to take a camel ride, haven't you? I understand that you get kind of seasick because they move in a way that kind of makes you feel a little. But I wouldn't want to go 1,000 miles. And we have absolutely no idea where these people came from, if they actually came from Persia or Babylon or were just local. All we know is that some people from the east came to Jerusalem looking for the one who was the king of the Jews. And they were following a special star and wanted to worship him. And they came to the court of King Herod, and they told him about their search. big mistake. Because Herod was very worried, and he sent for a bunch of priests and learned people, and he asked them where this king of the Jews was. And they told him, in Bethlehem. And they said that this was a ruler who would govern all Israel. Herod pretended to want to worship this king also, but really he wanted to get rid of this king baby so that it wouldn't be a threat to his own power. He asked these three visitors, or how many there were, to let him know when they found the child. And these wise men, we'll just call them that for now, followed the star, and they did find Jesus, and they gave him their gifts. They were warned by a dream not to go back to Herod, and people took their dreams very seriously then, so they went home by a different way, avoiding Jerusalem. And that's all we really know about the story. That's the bare bones. The question that pops up in my mind, and it does with a lot of biblical stories, is what happened then? Because these people fade off into the distance and we never hear of them again. So, since we're mixing up the actual words of the gospel story with lots of tradition, I decided I could put in my own story and try to imagine who those people were and how their lives were changed after they saw Jesus. Now, this is my story. When you write a story, you can do it any way you want. And so I'm sticking to the idea today of three men, because women very often didn't travel. They got to stay home and do other domestic things. And they very rarely traveled 1,000 miles by a camel, except for the Queen of Sheba. I can't think of anybody else who did that. And why these people would bring gifts to a baby. Babies don't need gold and oil and expensive perfume, but those gifts tell us something about the three men themselves. And so here's my story. You can go home and write another one, and we'll use it next year. The first man came from a large city someplace way back east. His father was a town leader, rather rich and prominent. And the family gave their little boy a good education and brought him up to be polite and well-mannered. Ha! After all, he would go into politics someday. He thought about all the power he could have and how he could tell people what to do when he grew up. And if the truth be told, he was sometimes a rather pushy, bossy kid. When he got married, he was betrothed to a woman from a very good family who brought him a huge dowry, lots of her own family money. And he had started out for Jerusalem on that very cold winter day to attend a meeting of young politicians and to get some helpful hints on how to govern a province, because he just wasn't going to be the mayor of a town. He wanted to be the governor of the whole province. The second man was an assistant priest. He didn't really want to be a priest, but his father was one, and his grandfather, and his mother's brother, and so on. It was what the oldest son in their family just did. And from an early age, he had been trained in the temple to follow his grandfather, the high priest, all around. And he listened to some rather boring sermons, and he had to memorize prayers and learn all the proper motions to use at a sacrifice, because that's what priests did. What he really didn't like when he was a little boy was that everyone thought he had to be good all the time. Did you ever hear of PKs, preacher's kids? And this little guy was full of mischief. He once let a frog loose during a particularly boring service just to liven things up. I wouldn't doubt that that could happen here. As he grew up, however, he became resigned to his life, and he was actually pretty good as an assistant priest. and it made his mother so happy. He was going to Jerusalem for a rally of junior clergy in which 7 new hymns would be taught, and he liked to sing. The third man who joined this group at some point was a bit older than the others. He had got a late start on his education because his family was very poor. He came from a little village where his mother supported their family as a midwife, and she made medicines from herbs. She loved her work, and she was always ready to get up at night and help someone have a baby. She would hold the woman's hand and wash her face with cool water and give her encouragement and strength when she got tired. And the best part, she said, was when the baby was born and she heard it cry for the first time. She called it the song of life. Secretly, excuse me, secretly, this man was a little ashamed of his mother and their poverty and the fact that he didn't know who his father was. He worked hard at many jobs, and he saved enough money to go to a good medical school where he never told anyone about his mother and her herbal medicines. He felt good about becoming a doctor because it gave him prestige. He was going to Jerusalem for a medical convention, and he was going to give a talk entitled "A Sure Cure for the Common Cold." The three men came from different places, and they met on the road because people traveled together for protection. And although they came from very different backgrounds, they got along very well. They had all seen that peculiar star in the sky, and they decided to follow it together. Well, we know what happened at Herod's court when they got there. After speaking to the king, the three set out to find this special child. It seemed a good idea to bring a gift. So each one rummaged through his things and came up with something that they thought would be useful. The rich man gave gold, and the priest gave incense, and the doctor gave a healing oil. They were a little disappointed when they got to Bethlehem, and they saw the poor conditions that this family was living in. But then the light of the star fell upon them, and the mystery of God's love shone upon them. And they were changed forever. And they knelt down and they worshiped this child. They left the house, as Matthew tells us, and they went home by a different road. Somewhere along the way, they said goodbye to one another, never to meet again. But in their hearts, they knew that what they had experienced would bind them forever. The first man went back to his big house in the city and his rich wife, and he did indeed become a leader in his community. But whenever he felt too important or pushy, something inside him would remember that star shining on him, and a helpless child, and a poor family, and a greedy king, and he would know that his power came from God, and that his wealth was something to be shared. And so he would make decisions that would help everyone, not just the important people. As his own children grew up, he tried to understand them and to tell them how very special they were. He wasn't afraid of losing his power the way Herod had been, because the real power in his life came from that moment when God had filled him with blessing. The assistant priest came back to his temple, singing all the new songs he had learned. They came from his heart now, not his sense of obligation. Suddenly, all the prayers he had to say had new meaning, because he found that he could really talk to God. And everyone who heard him felt like singing too. And they began to enjoy the sermons, which were about God's love and justice and fairness for everyone. and he smiled at little children, and nobody felt tempted to bring frogs into the service. His family grew closer and watched with joy when he was made head priest. He talked of hope and change and a day when God would set the whole world right. It was dangerous talk, but he wasn't afraid. He had seen in the eyes of that young mother in Bethlehem the courage that faith could bring. The doctor never cured a single cold, but he was gentle and wise and encouraged his patients just the way his mother had. He was no longer ashamed of his family or his poverty. He had seen how love could shine forth from the Spirit. He never made a lot of money, and he spent most of his time with people who couldn't pay a lot for his care or sometimes anything at all, because he knew he had been called by God to heal the sick. In that special moment in Bethlehem, he had come to understand what his mother meant by the song of life, and he resolved to keep it humming inside him for all of his days. I think the wise men really gained wisdom after they saw Jesus. And I think that all of us are a little like they were. Sometimes we are pushy and want power or money. And sometimes we aren't sure that we're doing what we want to do. And we can't seem to take God seriously. And sometimes we're resentful or ashamed of our families and the people who love us. And then comes Christmas and baby Jesus and this story. And we are changed because in some way that star will shine on us too. And it gives us the security to be leaders of justice and the faith to risk ourselves for God and the compassion to be healers in our own communities. And so when we leave here today, let's all go home by a different road, not by a new street, but by a different way of life. Let's remember those gifts, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, as gifts of power and faith and healing that have been given to us for our journey in the Christian life. And I'd like to just share a poem that was written by Andy King, The Star Signal. Not every journey toward the Christ starts like the Magi's in darkness, but there might come a time when, in the empty hours of an otherwise unremarkable night, you have happened to look up at the usual sky and noticed by accident, between passages of gray beast, slow-moving cloud, the bright bloom of a strange star flowering. And something begins to open a little somewhere beneath your skin, as if that new wedge of light in the sky has inserted itself into your soul, not enough to cause you any hurt, but just enough that you feel a pang, the twinge of something like longing, as if your eyes in the silence have become ears in the darkness, and you are hearing a holy summons, distant but ringing like a silver trumpet in the chambers of your listening heart. And you gaze at that star where it stands in the sky, dropping dust on the night horizon, and you think it might be signaling a holy presence in the world and a road that you can take to meet it. And that such a road, lit with such promise, might lead to a great adventure where life becomes challenged and changed and as new as the sky above a better world. And so you pack and you leave on this journey where Christ is not only waiting, but walking the road by your side. And you follow that light as it closes the distance, as it reaches deep within you, touching the gifts that you carry in your hand. Amen.